The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jewish people. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the dominion of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the dominion of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave the Son, the only begotten one, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. In the year that King Uzziah died, the prophet Isaiah sang, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." I remember singing this hymn the first time I attended seminary in 1998. It was at morning prayer at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I remember having this overwhelming feeling that yes, indeed, I am called to serve as a pastor. I probably should have known that already since I was a student at the seminary. But no matter how many times I hear that hymn, "Here I am, Lord," still to this day, it brings me to tears. "Here I am, Lord, send me if you will." This past week, I sat on a cramped and much too hot platform with many other of the Harvard chaplains, listening to speech after speech after speech of people imparting wisdom and degrees upon those who were graduating. Among those receiving their degrees that day was our esteemed Kenton Goldsby, Master of Divinity. Amen. He asked me this morning if he did indeed master it. I said, "Well, Harvard said it, so it must be true." I know from many conversations with Kenton that he too has felt that emotional and overwhelming call from God to go into the world. Preach the good news. Go and love the people. Over the past 3 years, two of them here at UniLU, Kenton has done just that. "Here I am, Lord." Is it you, Lord? Yes, Kenton. As far as I can tell, as far as I know, the word and the heart of God, you are called and sent. And we are very grateful that you were sent to us for this time. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is Holy Trinity Sunday, which means that on this particular day of the church year, we seek and we take time to understand the nature of God, the nature of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, and how this triune God is present and is known and speaks to the people through time and still today. Sometimes, as in the first reading for this day from Isaiah, we learn that the Lord God is sitting on a throne and wears a robe that fills the entire temple. Think about that for a minute. I saw a lot of fancy robes on Thursday at Harvard, but none of them filled the entire space, although some of the hats were a bit much. But imagine that, the Lord God's robes filled the entire temple. That's a big robe. That's over the top. It's extra. It's fabulous. The Lord God showed up and said, "Here I am." When you think of God, when you think of the one we praise and serve on Sunday morning and on any other day of the week, when you think of the one we proclaim to be crucified, risen, and coming again, what do you picture? How big is the Lord's robe, for example? The truth is that we often like to fit that robe and the one wearing it, the Lord God, into a much smaller space than the temple, even. Sometimes we want to fit God's fabulousness in a closet. Sometimes we want to fit God's self-sacrificing love into a box of orthodoxy. Sometimes we are so uncomfortable with how big, how fabulous, how ostentatious the robes of this mighty God are that we just don't want to look at God. And we don't want to hear the expansive and far-reaching voice of this loving God. The voice of the Lord, according to the various scripture lessons for today, is beautiful, powerful, splendorous, or is it splendiferous? I couldn't decide today. The voice of the Lord appears in lightning and in the wilderness. It is written that the voice of God even breaks apart massive trees, and therefore I would think that the voice of God could not be ignored, any more than the tornadoes that struck Iowa this week, or the bombs that are striking Gaza as we speak, or the sunshine that bathed our shoulders with warmth over the past few days. How could we ignore it? And how can we ignore the voice of Lord Jesus crucified and risen each time we come to the table and receive the gift of the body and the blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine? Scripture is clear. The voice of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer is as present and as vital as our very breath. So why is it that sometimes it's so hard to hear it, not to mention to respond to it? Why is it so hard to hear the consonants, the vowels, the syllables, the phrases, the paragraphs that would tell us exactly what we're supposed to do right now? Would that the cedar trees had mouths. Would that the sun dropped eloquent verses on our warmed shoulders. Would that our ears were always open and our hearts always ready to hear the truth. Why must we seek the Lord our God if God is already speaking in so many ways all of the time? Why? Because we are human beings. We are both saint and sinner, because we, both individuals and communities, are at one time ready to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," and at other times very comfortable sticking with what we know. Our habits, our privilege, our own personal sins, our little corners of God's great world, and Definitely, our limited understanding of who God is and how God works and to whom God speaks. And so, they, our great and non-binary God, the one in three and three in one, I would say at least one in three and three in one, keeps speaking, keeps shining, keeps shaking the trees, keeps moving mountains, keeps calling pastors, keeps calling congregations, keeps inviting us to listen. God speaks and speaks and speaks until eventually we are compelled to say, okay, God, I hear you. I hear you. Yes, I know I am loved by you. Yes, I know I am forgiven for my sins. Yes, I know I'm made in your image. Yes, I know you will never leave me, but will walk with me even through the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, I know that even when I don't hear you clearly, you are still speaking. Yes, I also know that your desire for the world is justice, peace, love, wholeness, reconciliation, and that you have gifted me, you have gifted all of us, all of your beloved children, with unique gifts to make that beloved community be birthed. Not all of us are called to be pastors or prophets or teachers or choir directors or organists or seminary interns or mothers or fathers. Not all of us are called to the same thing, but each of us, dear ones, each of us, beloved, we are called by God. And so sing with me, here I am, Lord, is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart. Amen. I would like to leave you with a poem. I know I've just belabored this, but we were taught to end with a poem sometimes. But this one came to me through a pastor that I know from New York, Heidi Newmark, who was quite amazing, written by Pastor Michael Coffey. And it was so perfect with where my mind was going this week, my heart was going with the sermon, that I need for you to hear it too. This poem is called God's Bathrobe. God sat Sunday in her Adirondack deck chair, reading the New York Times and sipping strawberry lemonade. Her pink robe flowing down to the ground, the garment hem was fluff and frill, and it spilled holiness down into the sanctuary. Into the cup and the nostrils of the singing people, one thread trickled loveliness into a funeral rite. As the mourners looked in the face of death and heard the story of a life truer than goodness, a torn piece of the robe's edge flopped onto a war in southern Sudan and caused heartbeats to skip, and soldiers looked into themselves deeply. One threadbare strand of the divine belt almost knocked over a polar bear floating on a loose berg in the warming sea. One silky string wove its way through Jesus' cross and tied itself to desert-parched immigrants with swollen tongues, and a woman with ovarian cancer and two young sons. You won't believe this, but a single hair-thin fiber floated onto the yacht of a rich man, and he gasped when he saw everything as it really was. The hem fell to and fro across the universe, filling space and time and gaps between the subatomic world with the ever-fervescent presence of the one who is, the one who is the is. And even in the slight space between lovers in bed, the holiness flows and wakes up the body to feel beyond the feeling and know beyond the knowing. And even as we monotheize and trinitize and speculate and doubt, even our doubting, the threads of holiness trickle into our lives, and the seraphim keep singing, "Holy, holy, holy," and flapping their wings like baby birds, and God says, "Give it a rest a while." And God takes another sip of her summertime drink and smiles at the way you are hearing this filament now and hums, "It's a good day to be God." And let the people say amen.